It is such a wonderful thing to worship God. Amen. And it's a wonderful thing to be in a place where we're still allowed to do that. Yes. Let us all pray that that continues to be the case. I'm thankful to see all that are out to worship God this morning. And if it's the first time that you're here, rest assured, we have a real preacher, and he's away. He's preaching, Stan is preaching in Needles. So if you'd like to come back and listen to him, I invite you to do so. But we'll study together this morning anyway, and we do have a couple of young men. Matt and Mike are preaching together in Lucerne Valley this morning. And so it's a good thing to have men that are capable and willing to go help out in other places. If you'd like to open your Bibles up to Mark, the first chapter, verses 16 through 20, that's where we plan to study today. I, in some ways, am hesitant with this lesson because as I studied through it, you know, I like to be, I like to encourage people and not discourage people. But at the same time, as I, you know, some lessons, they get on us, don't they? And I don't want us to be discouraged by this lesson. But as I studied this, I realized that I received a reprimand in my study of this lesson, and perhaps some of you will experience the same thing, but a reprimand isn't always designed. In fact, as far as Christians are concerned, it's never designed to discourage, but a reprimand is to help us recognize who we are and where we're at and where we need to go and the changes that need to be made. And so I'm trying to have some slides here. This is brand new for me, and we'll see how it goes. I could get confused, but we'll work through it together here. And so that's the passage we're looking at. Let's read that together. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in a boat with the hired men and followed him. Now, I'm sure most, if not all of us, are quite familiar with this passage when Jesus began to assemble together what would become the 12 apostles, that he called them like this and promised to make them fishers of men. Now, this morning, like I said, I'm going to ask two questions right off the bat here. And for me, as I was studying it, perhaps you too, they're kind of embarrassing. If we consider ourselves to be Christians and we look at these things, some of us are going to be embarrassed, most of us, if not all of us. Question number one, when was the last time you brought someone to Jesus? So that's a simple question, but to those of us who are Christians and we recognize what our mission is, it's a tough question to answer, isn't it? And like I said, don't mean so much for it to be a reprimand, but for me it was. When is the last time you brought someone to Jesus? When's the last time perhaps you assisted with another in bringing someone to Jesus? And the second question, when was the last time you tried? Ooh, that's a harder one, huh? How far back you got to go to find a time when you talk to somebody about Jesus? I'm going to use the phrase this morning, witnessing Because we're afraid of that phrase, I suppose because of the Jehovah's Witnesses, we have a fear of it. But don't fear it, it's just a word. And we should be witnesses, we should be witnessing. So, well, what is a witness? A witness is somebody who gives testimony of things they have seen. The apostles gave testimony of the things they saw Jesus do. Now, we didn't see Jesus directly do things as they did, directly as he walked upon the earth. But those of us who are Christians for any time, we have seen Jesus do things in our lives. Amen. We have seen him make a difference. We have heard the good news and seen what changes it's made in our lives and how it's made us more capable of pleasing God and made us a better person than we were before and solved some problems that we had in this life. Can't we tell other people about that? Isn't that witnessing? Amen. But you know, the truth is, most of us, and some say those who know or are supposed to know such things, say as many as 95% of us who claim to be Christians have never led a soul to Jesus. You listening to that? I wonder if that's true. 95% of those who claim to be Christians don't tell people about Jesus. Don't lead people to Jesus. That leaves just 5% to do what God has called us to do. Brothers and sisters, the greatest thing we can do for the world, and boy, the world needs some things done, don't you think? The world is in a mess. But you know, the greatest things that we can do, you say, well, I'll be a good citizen in this USV, you know, I'll obey the laws. Well, that's fine, but that's not the greatest thing you can do. You say, well, then I'll be a good church member. You know, I'll attend. I'll be here all the time. I'll participate in all the things. Well, you know, that's good too, but that's not the greatest thing either. So I'll be nice to my neighbors. I'll just be kind to them. I'll be kind to everybody that I meet. But you know, the greatest thing you can possibly do for anyone is to bring that person face to face with their Savior. That's the greatest thing you can do. That's the best friend you can be. And one by one, as we begin to lead people to the Savior, as they meet him and get to know him, you know what's going to happen? The whole world is going to change, one person at a time. Jesus is saying in the 17th verse here of our passage, I want to give you a promise, Jesus is saying. Here's my promise that I give to you. Let's notice this. Jesus says, I will make you fishers of men. Do you know what that verse says to me? It says that the reason we do not bring others to Christ is not so much that we don't know how to do it, it's that we don't know him. We don't know him like we should. We don't have the relationship with Jesus ourselves that we need to have. You see, Jesus says, all we have to do, what is the words? Follow me. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, perhaps there's more to this follow me than leads the eye, you know, than meets the eye, don't you think? Yeah. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You see, Jesus says to know him is to love him. To know Jesus is to love him. Amen. And to love him is want to share him. Share him with those we meet. And to share him means that we, and I'm going to say we, not you, because it's we. We're in this all together, aren't we? Yes. We want others to come to know him like we know him. Don't we?
Yes.
That's how to make the difference. Now, for most of us, the problem is we're very good at making excuses. We've had a lifetime of experience at this, and some of us are very sophisticated in our excuses. We're good at it, aren't we? So we make excuses instead of making disciples. And that's where we need to make the change. And some of you, I know I can hear it now. Some of you are saying, well, preacher, you know, that's just not my thing. It's just not my thing. I'm just not outgoing. My personality isn't like that. And, you know, I don't know very much about the Bible and what it says. Isn't it a tragedy that so many of God's people have nothing to offer God but excuses? Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, this morning I want this verse in Mark that we've just read, I want it to penetrate our hearts like an arrow. Yes. And I want it to lodge deep down into our hearts. And I want it to make a difference. I want us to never forget it. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you become fishers of men. Yes. Notice with me this morning, I got three short points, and we'll get through these as quickly as possible, and the lesson will be with, yours. So notice me three things. The first thing that I want us to look at is... this is a direct command. This isn't a, Jesus isn't saying, please. You know, it's nice to say that, right? But this is God we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, we should be polite to one another. And Jesus is not impolite here, but he's God. And he's making a command. Make no mistake about that. Come, follow me, he says to them. Now, as always, when he said this to these men, God gives us a choice. They could have said no. Could they not have said, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, I don't know where you're going or what you're doing or what you're about, but I'm not going with you. They had a choice. Jesus said, though, come follow me. That's not a suggestion. He was commanding them to do that. And it's not just good advice, which it is good advice, but it's not just good advice, and it's not just an opinion. Jesus saying, I command you to come and follow me. Amen. And you know what? He's saying that to every person in this audience this morning. Come and follow me. I don't care where you are in your life, whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, or whether you're serving God or whether you even believe in God, the command is still being made to you, and your choice is the same as theirs was, to accept the challenge and follow him or to deny the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, the word follow is powerful here. It literally means to get under the authority of or to emulate an example. That's why we're called Christians, Christ-like, right? We're his name and we're called Christians because we want to be like him. We want to emulate his behavior. You see, to follow literally means that you look with high regard and high esteem to the one that you follow. Now, there are people that follow men, you know, to some degree or another, many people, and they hold whoever the man is in high esteem if they follow him. They value him. But there's something else that goes along with this. If you follow somebody, you do what they tell you to do. Mm-hmm. Sheep follow the shepherd, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they do what he leads them to do. Amen. And so if we follow Jesus, we obey him. Amen. We do what he tells us to do. It was a man, I'm told, named R.A. Torrey, and I know he's written some commentaries, maybe some of you have read, but he questioned the right of a person to call themselves a follower of Jesus if they are not soul winners. Oh, there's another word. Soul winner. I've heard that before, right? So, yeah, preacher, I've heard that. There is no such thing as following Christ unless you make the purpose of his life the purpose of your life. That's what a follower does. We have that in common. We have the same purpose. I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. I want to accomplish what he has set out for me to accomplish in my life. So that's why I call this sermon, if you're not fishing, you're not following. Because Jesus said, if you will follow me, then I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fish for men. So here's the logical question, if you follow it up. Are you fishing for men? If you say no, then the question is, are you following Christ? And the answer has to be no. If we're not fishing, we're not following. It's time we get this straight. Soul winning, there's that word again. Don't be afraid of it. Amen. It's not up for debate. It's a command of God. It's a command of Jesus, a direct command. You see, some of us automatically tune the preacher out when he begins to talk this way. So, preacher, I've heard these sermons before, right? I've heard better men than you say these things. And, you know, that guilt trip that they laid on me didn't work. And you know what? It's not going to work today. Well, you know what? I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on anybody. If you feel guilty, you're laying it on yourself. I'm just trying to tell you what Jesus was teaching here. Yes. Right? Yes. Now, you wear it however you wear it.
Yes.
Some say, well, it's just, you know, it's just not my gift. I don't have a gift in that area. Friend, there's only one problem with that. Soul winning is not a gift at all.
Amen.
It's a command. And when Jesus commands us to do something, we can do it. Or he wouldn't command it. Not trying to make anyone feel guilty this morning, but I'm not worried about it either. You see, beloved, we need to be honest when we appraise ourselves, when we look at ourselves and evaluate where we are. We need to admit where we really are. We don't serve God and we don't serve ourselves when we lie to God and we lie to ourselves. If we're disobeying this command, if we're not doing it, well, just admit it. You know, you can never make a change unless you admit that there's something wrong. If you pretend everything is okay and the path we're on is going to get us to heaven, you know, even if it's not, you're not doing yourself any good. You have to admit where you're at. We have to locate where we're at on this salvation chart here. If we're saying no to Jesus, don't pretend that you're saying yes. Admit that you're saying no. This isn't play acting that we're doing as Christians. This is reality. And so we need to know where we are. Some say, well, does Jesus really expect everybody to be a soul winner?
Yes.
What did he say? What is he telling us? Many people interpret this passage in Mark 1:17 differently. Some people say, well, we're all supposed to be fishers of men, and I don't like that word. Jesus didn't say you're supposed to be, did he? He said, if you follow me, I'm going to make you that. We'll get to that later. You know, so some of us are gifted in some areas. Some of us, they say, you might say, well, you know, preacher, some of us are gifted at witnessing and telling and talking to people. They just have that gift, but it's not me. I'll fish for men just by being a good person and being a nice guy and trying to represent Christianity with my kindness, and I'll send good thoughts to people, and you know, I'll even pray for people. Good, good. That's a good thing, isn't it? We should do all of those things. And then I'll hope that the message gets through and that they're saved. You know, if we could just pray for people and that's all we had to do, that would be wonderful. And I'm not saying don't pray for people, because we should pray for people.
Amen.
But that's not what Jesus is saying here. You know, I can be a fisher of men by praying. Well, not really. If you know, let's face it. If you want to fish, you got to get out there and fish.
Amen.
You know, some of us want to fish like I fish. Right? I go to Stater Brothers and I buy it in little packages and out of the freezer, right? If I want fish, that's what I do. That doesn't make me a fisherman, does it?
No.
If I want to catch fish, then I got to go out there where the fish are at. In fact, this concept of fishing for men, you know, it's the heartbeat of God himself. It is the essence of Christian faith, fishing for men. Did you know, now, this might come as a surprise to some of you, but did you know that Christianity is not a religion? Did you know that? A lot of people think it is. And it kind of bothers me when people refer to the Christian religion. Fishing for men is that which separates authentic Christianity from a false or pretentious religion. Let's think about that a little bit. You know, superficial religion is everywhere. Religion is man's desire to get to God. And it comes in so many different forms that some of it is almost unrecognizable to us. But it's still religion. It's not Christianity, but it's still religion, right? And it's their desire to get next to God. But Christianity is the other way around. Christianity is God's desire to get to man. God does the work in Christianity. He wants to save us. Christianity is God becoming flesh, God coming down to this earth and dwelling in his creation, among his creation. That's Christianity. The Bible says Jesus came, Jesus became incarnate. That's a word we don't use real often, but the word carnate is a Latin word, and it means flesh. God became flesh. He became incarnate. He became like us. The incarnation means that the Son of God actually took on human form because God cared so much about us and about his creation that he sent his Son in human form, and he pursued us. This is God's pursuit of man that needed him. See, God does this. That's Christianity. Mm-hmm. Not religion. Christianity. Amen. The true heart of God was shown from the very beginning. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned, you know, it set him apart from God. And God knew that Adam couldn't get back to him. God knew that. I don't know that Adam understood. I'm pretty sure he didn't. The full impact of what he had done. But God knew. God knew that he had no ability to make it right again. So he, God, would have to get to Adam. Because Adam can't do it. So God didn't hide from Adam. Remember in Genesis chapter, first chapter? He didn't hide from Adam, but Adam hid from God. Adam hid from God. But God tracked him down. And he's tracking us down today, right? God is pursuing man. He's pursuing all of us like he pursued Adam in the beginning. And man has been running from God from the beginning and hiding from God, but God still pursues. Amen. Now, like I already kind of pointed out to you, I'm not a brilliant fisherman. In fact, I'm not a fisherman at all. And I did mention briefly already, but not being a fisherman, there's still one thing I know. If I want to catch fish, I'm going to have to go where fish are. Yeah. If I cast a line in my bathtub, I'm not going to catch any fish. Yeah. You know, you could call yourself fishing. You know, you got the pole, you got all the fisherman stuff, right? But if you're not where the fish are, you're not fishing. You know you're not going to catch a fish there. The only fish, like I said, that you can catch like that are already caught by somebody else and they're available for you to buy. And that's not the same thing. You know, Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. He meant that he would make us active witnesses of what he has done for us. That's what he wants us to be. Everywhere we go in our lives, we should be active witnesses of what Jesus has done for us. He doesn't expect us to sit back and wait for people to come to us. You can get in a boat and go out on Silverwood Lake there, right, with your fishing pole and all of your gear, and you can just sit there and chit-chat all day and say you're fishing, but you're not. You got that's it. God has given us everything that we need to fish, but we got to cast the line. Amen. And that's only time that we'll be fishing. And so, beloved, the heart of the Christian faith is God pursuing a lost and dying world. That's what Christianity is. This passage is a direct command. and we need to know that. But there's something else I want to notice. This call that Jesus makes is personal. Now, we use the phrase all the time, well, don't take it personal. Take this personal. Okay, do take this personal. Jesus is calling you, and he's calling me, every individual person. He's not calling groups of people. He's calling you and me, everyone individually, and we all have to answer. He says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, notice these pronouns. I, me, you. That's personal, isn't it? This is a personal thing Jesus is doing. Jesus doesn't say, well, go out and follow a denomination of your choice, does he?
No.
He says, follow me. You follow me. It's personal. He doesn't say, follow the religious publication that you like the best. You know, read about it and try to find out that the thing that appeals to you the most. He doesn't even say, follow the preacher. And this is for us Church of Christ members. Don't follow the preacher. You can listen to him, make sure what he says is the truth, right? But don't follow him unless there's a degree in which we do that, don't we? We lead each other to Jesus. So in a sense, you know, we're following the one that's leading you to, but it's Jesus that ultimately that we want to follow. He's the one that's going to take us to heaven. So follow Jesus. Don't put too much stock in the preacher. He says, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Do you see how personal that is? You follow me and I will make you. It's a one-on-one thing. It's a personal relationship. Jesus is saying to us, now get this now, he's not setting up an organization here. There's so many organizations in the world, religious and other types, right? They're just everywhere. Organizations are organizations. Jesus did not come to this earth to set up another organization. Jesus came to create an organism.
Amen.
Different, isn't it? Something that's living. Something that's living and alive. And he does it with relationships.
Yes.
We know what relationships are. Mm-hmm. We all have relationships. And I want you, through the relationships in your life, Jesus says, the people that you know, the people round about you, the people that you meet, I want you to fish for people and show them that they can have a relationship with me too.
Amen.
See, it's about relationships, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's wonderful the way this works. Mark it down and don't forget it. Fellowship always comes before fishing. You know, you've got to have, you're not going to be a very effective fishermen in the spiritual sense, if you don't have any relationships with anybody. You're not gonna even have any idea of what you're doing, really. And worship always follows witnessing. You know, we've got to be involved with God. We've got to have a relationship with him first before we can begin to witness to people what that relationship is about. You know, what I've discovered in my walk with the Lord is the more time I spend with Jesus, the better I know him. You too? Have you discovered that? And the better I know Jesus, the more excited I get about him. And the more excited I get about Jesus, the more I want other people to know about him too. It's the truth. Whatever you're excited about, you talk to people about. And, you know, sometimes it changes, you know, but always for Christians, Jesus should be right at the top.
Amen.
We should be just so quick to tell people, you know, I have the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
I can help you with that. Listen to what Jesus, you know what Jesus said about that? That's witnessing, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
You know, I was in that same situation, and this is what Jesus did for me. You see, that's witnessing. That's what we're called to do. You know why most people never talk about Jesus in the workplace? And you know, most of us have never even gone across the street to our neighbor to talk about Jesus. And you know why? We're just not very excited about Jesus. We know about him, But somewhere along the line, our excitement seems to have dwindled. He has become routine. Listening to me? Jesus has become routine. He's become old hat. Everybody's heard that. Everybody knows who Jesus is. Everybody who's going to believe in Jesus either believes in him now or they never will. Is that right? Is that what Jesus called us to do, is to evaluate like that? He's become the usual thing, Jesus is. Not extraordinary anymore. It's just what we do. It's just our habit, right? When you get excited about Jesus, you have to backslide to keep from telling people about him. And that's happened to some of us. If you consider the sum total of all of the relationships to people that we have in this church, looking out among us here, we all have relationships. And people who are supposed to know such things, again, they're called church growth experts, whatever that means. They call that, these relationships that we have, they call it our evangelism potential, right? Well, that means that your potential is those that you know, right? And they say that in any given church, each individual, that's you and I, right, generally has a relationship with 5 to 8 groups of people. And it's not hard to believe that when you think about it. You know, we have many groups of people in our lives. One group could be those living around about you, your neighbors, and could have a group at school. You could have a group at work of people. You could belong to a club. You get the point. You could be a softball coach or a football coach. There's groups of people that we have some relationships with. And when you begin to count them up, it's probably more than you think. So out of these 5 to 8 groups of people that each of us, and this is an average, right? Maybe you don't have that many, maybe you have more. But let's just say that there's as many as 40 to 50 people that you know who don't know Christ. That's each one of us. You thought about that? And if you start, you know, I'm not going to do the math. I couldn't do it in my head anyway, but I'm looking out. That's a lot of people. A lot of people that we know who don't know Christ. Every church has potential to touch thousands. So the question is, why is it not happening? We're not taking it personal, right? I know he calls us to be fishers of men, but Stanley will do that, and perhaps Stanley will. But what about your relationships? Stanley doesn't know those people. You see what I'm saying? It's not happening because we're not really following Jesus. If we were really following Jesus, it would be happening. And it's not happening because we don't fish. You know, my third point, and this is my last point, the lesson will be yours. Its company is powerful. I will make you fishers of men. If you just follow me, Jesus says. See, that's the thing. All we have to do is follow. He'll do the rest. You'll become fishers of men because Jesus makes you that. You won't have to say, well, I got to become a fisher of men. No. Jesus will take care of that if you follow him. If you haven't become a fisher of men, well, maybe you're not following him. That's the point, isn't it? This is a pointed command. He said, go. This is a personal call. It's for each one of us. And the third point here that I'm going to finish with, it's in powerful company. Jesus says, I am going to do it with you. Wow. Okay, it should be a little easier then. Jesus said, I'm going to make you that. I'm going to fill you so full of the Spirit that you won't be able to contain it. Everywhere you go, it's going to be overflowing in your life. Follow me first, and then I will convert you. I will change you. I will transform you into fishers of men. We must realize that although we do the fishing, We never do the converting. We're not the ones that changes people's hearts. And we don't want to get our part confused with God's part. Our part is to fish and let God do the changing.
Amen.
Someone has said that a soul winner's prayer is simply this: Lord, help me. Help me be a nobody who will tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody.
Amen.
That's us.
Amen.
That's what we need. We ought, that ought to be our prayer. You see, we don't fish alone. We fish with Jesus. And like I said, I'll be honest, I don't like, physical fishing, right? But if Jesus was with me, I'd go. Wouldn't you? Whether you ever been fishing or not. Well, he is with you. So often we get out on an island all by ourselves and we think we're the only ones out there fishing. You ever felt like that? Nobody else is doing anything. Well, before the Great Commission, there's a statement that could be called the Great Claim, if you will. We so often quote Matthew 28:19. That's the Great Commission, right? We do that very often, but verse 18 we usually don't include in that. In most translations, verse 19 begins with the word therefore, or go therefore. But verse 18 tells us what the therefore is there for. Verse 18 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And because of this, because all authority has been given to me, therefore, he continues, you go make disciples. You go fish for men. What he was saying, before you go out, you'd better realize that I'm the one who has the authority. I am the one with power. I am the one that you are going to lead people to. Now, I know some of us are saying, now, wait a minute. Doesn't the devil have power? You know what? No, he really doesn't. We give him power, but God has all the power.
Amen.
Jesus has all of the power.
Amen.
Now, the devil, don't get me wrong, the devil has weapons. The devil has tools. He has traps. But we make the decision whether to fall into them or not.
Amen.
He has no power but the power that we give him.
Amen.
There's no business like soul business. And if you're not fishing, you're not following. Well, brothers and sisters, that's the lesson.
Amen.
And my desire is that those of us who already count ourselves as followers of Jesus would take this to heart and recognize that maybe we're not the followers that we thought we were. And maybe we need to make some changes in our lives. And perhaps there's some among us who never have heeded the call of the Lord, have never given in to the good news that Jesus is the Savior, and have never become a Christian by repentance and baptism and having the sins washed away and confession of his name. Perhaps there are people among us, in fact, I know that there are people among us who have never done that. If you can be baptized and have your sins washed away, you think about that, then you can become a fisherman too.
Amen.
And we can all fish together, right?
Because
we need some fishermen,
yes,
brothers and sisters. We need to change this world, and we do it one soul at a time. Whatever your spiritual need is, come forward as we stand and sing. Please stand.